Hi, this is Commissioner Kyler, and I always start with I love Carroll County. I was elected in District 2. We've been here about 9 months, and we serve all of Carroll County, and I need your input. I try to start everyone and end everyone with call me at 443-986-1458 or email me at kkyler@carrollcountymd.gov. This job's great. And the four men I serve with are great, and all the county employees. I'm blessed to be doing this. We do monthly podcasts, and in future podcasts, I'd like to include other people. Maybe split up the time, 5 minutes or so. Today, Rick Baker's going to join me. He's ESAC chairperson, and he'll join in later and tell you all about EMS and firefighters and the history of some of the stuff we're doing. And maybe, who knows, maybe the future. We've been busy. Commissioner Rothstein warned me before the election, commissioner is a part-time job with a full-time commitment. I've learned a lot. I think BOE before this, the only difference was I was working with four ladies instead of four men, but it was a good preparation for this. Budget process, we're done for the fiscal year. This budget's complete. But we're always working on the budget. And before we start formally on next year's budget, we'll be doing individual departments and getting a little deeper into those. And we're constantly approving spending, grants, changes within a budget, transfers. The BOE budget we just looked at, and there were some operating budget transfers we approved. So it's the budget's all year. The commissioners divide duties sitting on various boards and commissions. I'm blessed to get to attend the Opioid Prevention Coalition at the Health Department. The last one was last week, and we also had them discuss some things today at our meeting, and it's just a great bunch over there looking out for Carroll County. Veterans Advisory Council meetings, there was one of those this week, and it's really reassuring. We've met the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Anthony Woods, a few times. Some here in Carroll County, some in Annapolis. But at MACO, this last session, he told us that he uses Carroll as an example of how other counties should deal with veterans. Quite a compliment. Last night I had Carroll Community College trustees meeting with Dr. Ball and the trustees group. And again, what a great group there. And I've said it before, but it seems like every time I go there, I learn about something that I didn't know they were even doing before. It's not just reading, writing, and arithmetic. It's a lot of stuff. We've continued discussions on how the bridge replacements on Route 91 will cause more traffic on county roads. The bridges need to work, and the state's doing a good plan. I think Concrete General is the contractor, and there's incentives for them to stay within the timeline and get it done quickly. But it's going to be kind of a rough detour because the detour is set up, rightfully so, by state roads. But drivers are smart. They're going to cut through county roads and do the shortest way possible. I've actually emailed the district engineer and asked him, do they have an approximate start time? And typically, signs go up maybe a month before start that warn you the road will be closed and there'll be a detour. And I've asked how that'll work. So hopefully, maybe next Thursday's meeting, I'll have some answers I can tell everybody on what's going on with that. State Highway held an informational meeting for the modifications of the 91-140 intersection last week. My humble opinion, it's a poorly designed plan. It has negative impact on too many businesses. And there are other options that many of the local residents have suggested that could have better results, and I think before they do this, they need to try some options. The state did agree that night that they're going to have another more town hall type meeting, probably at Sandy Mount Elementary, which is right up the road, and update residents a little bit more on what's happening. And I think they've heard the people, and I think they knew they were going to hear them. And I give them credit. They could have easily canceled the meeting. But that wouldn't have satisfied any of the residents, and that wouldn't given any of us a voice, so I'm glad they did it. Visited Heather Powell and Workforce Development, and it's amazing all they do. And then last week, Commissioner Rothstein and I attended a reception at Raising the Bar, a seminar and a three-day event they were doing at Arundel's Mill. And that was a great opportunity to talk more with Mrs. Powell, but also with other counties and other people there. The state has done some grants in our area to update broadband internet service expansion, and we'll see some expansion, and we'll see it pretty soon, but it's going to be challenging to serve all the citizens, and similar to like AgPres, you get a certain percentage served, and it gets harder and harder to get to the rest. Public safety nuisance ordinance was passed. I think it'll have some good results. It's not what people think it is. It's not a money generator. It's not a way to have police deny going out on calls. It's just to try to deal with nuisance. Charles Carroll Community Center had its ribbon cutting. That was super for that community. Lights were installed at some fields at Cape Horn Park. That was great for that community. And then I'll touch on Mako. We went down there in Ocean City. We were down there several days. Good seminars and classes, but the networking is what's awesome. We met many of our peers from other counties and had great discussions with them. We discussed blueprint and legislation, met Governor Moore, Lieutenant Governor Miller, Veterans Secretary Woods, Ag Secretary Addix, Commerce Secretary Anderson, General Services Secretary Chowdhury, MDOT Secretary Weatherfield, and some others. And last year, and I've mentioned this before, Commissioner Rothstein and I decided we'd do Mako meetings, whether they were virtual or not, every Wednesday in Annapolis during the session. We met every one of our senators and delegates, plus some of these secretaries and people over the year. And I feel like Carroll County is getting a little bit more respect from Annapolis, and we need to build on that. I'd now like to introduce Rick Baker, ESAC chairperson, and hopefully he's less boring than I am, and you'll have fun listening to him.
Thank you, Commissioner. The Emergency Services Advisory Council was a council that was created when we started talking about and building upon creating this combination fire department in Carroll County. It consists of representatives from the volunteer fire departments, citizens, employees, as well as our own medical director, leaders of operations committees within the fire department, our fire chief, commissioner, and also our president of our Volunteer Emergency Services Association. We've been in existence and had our first meeting in November of 2020 and have met faithfully every month since then. We cover a large topics during those conversations, from anything from policy review, the status of things on how it's going with building this new career fire department, as well as establishing any kind of concerns or recommendations that we provide to the commissioners as we go through this development of this new service to the citizens of Carroll County. I've enjoyed it. I've been in the fire service pretty much my entire life, from watching my parents provide services in the county to me growing up into it and serving as a life member of the Mount Airy Volunteer Fire Department, as well as serving in several county state positions as well. It's an interesting time to be a firefighter or EMT or paramedic, not only in Carroll County, but in the country. Right now, we're experiencing shortages of all of those positions, not only in the county, but across the nation. At one time where people couldn't wait to become a firefighter or an EMT or paramedic, and now the want is not as much there any longer, but the need certainly is. So what we're trying to do here in Carroll County with building this combination fire department, and you'll hear the word combination, you'll hear the word hybrid, it all means the same. What we're trying to do is keep the volunteer spirit and the volunteer members that are currently serving as firefighters, EMTs, and paramedics in Carroll County, and supplementing them with career people from the county government. So some folks will say, well, why is that difference? Because I understand that there's been paid people in the firehouses for a long time, and that's correct. But those people were employed by the individual fire department, volunteer fire departments, and they were supplemented by pay by some money that would come from the county government, as well as billing money from EMS billing. But what we're doing different now is that we're transitioning all these people who wanted to be transitioned and went through the hiring process to become county employees now. And what that does is gives us several different advantages. It provides a single location for people who were in the fire department that if somebody calls out sick, somebody takes leave, that we've got a bigger pool of people to draw from to fill those positions. It also standardizes pay, it standardizes benefits, and it also standardizes schedules for people when to come to work. So there's a lot of advantages for doing this. So A lot of people will say to me, Ricky says, I'm reading in the paper that the county's buying ambulances, the county's putting people into firehouses. What are all these people going to be doing? And what happened to all the volunteers? Well, the volunteers are still there. They might not be as large as numbers, and they might be getting a little bit older, I says, but they're still there. I says, and the volunteers are still a major contributor to this combination fire department, what we're talking about. You will not see the commissioners talk about building a firehouse. You will not hear the commissioners talking about buying fire engines for everybody in the county. That's still going to be a responsibility of the volunteers. The volunteers have signed up to continue to make building improvements to their buildings or build new firehouses like they're currently doing in Hampstead. The volunteers will continue to buy fire engines. They'll continue to buy aerial apparatus, and they'll continue to buy tanker trucks. And they might even continue to buy some ambulances. But for the ambulances, that's going to be supplemented by the county, as well as providing the people to ride those ambulances. So people will ask, well, can a volunteer still ride an ambulance? Absolutely they can. There's opportunities for them to do that, and we'll continue to have that volunteer spirit here in the county. You will continue to see fundraising events going on for the volunteers. Please support those, because that's what's going to pay for the fire engines and the building improvements that the folks are going to be making towards. That was one of my biggest concerns that I expressed to the commissioners at one of our ESAC meetings, that we have to do a better job of getting that message out of just how this combination fire department works. And I believe that we're making strides to do that. Just to give some examples, 10 years ago, a new fire engine would have cost anywhere between $400,000 and $500,000. Today, that price is up to almost $1 million or more. It's unbelievable how much more this equipment is costing, and we really can't have any answer for it or try to go buy a cheap one, because there is no such thing as a cheap one. So there's some challenges here that's going to be happening. But we're making progress. In June of 2023, we put the first county employees at Westminster, Tawny Town, and Sykesville. 2 months later, in the next fiscal year, we were able to put we, and I'm saying we because it is a we between what we're doing with the volunteers as well as with the county employees. In August of 2023, we were able to put people at Mount Airy, Manchester, and now in Reese. And the current plan right now is to finish the last 7 stations that are scheduled to get people in after July of 2024. So we've got a lot of work to do. There's going to be a lot of changes that's going to be coming. And with change comes issues. And thank goodness we have all the faith in the world that Chief Robinson will continue to provide that leadership, as well as the leadership coming from the different volunteer fire departments. ESAC is involved in all those conversations. We have tried to schedule regular meetings with the county commissioners, and I think we're working on scheduling one sometime in October so that we can talk about all these different things that are going on and provide some guidance or recommendations to the commissioners on where we think we need to go and what needs to happen. Commissioner Collar, I appreciate the time you've given me today to participate in your podcast, and I look forward to continue our working relationship.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Baker. And I think it was nice to hear from you and some of your personal opinions, some of ESAC's positions on stuff. Hopefully you dispelled some myths and rumors that are going on. And you thank Chief Robinson, and we've heard from him, but I feel we need to hear from others throughout the fire system in Carroll County to get the full perspective on it. So thank you very much. And again, I love Carroll County, and I need your input. Please call me. Please email me. And I'll talk to you again in about a month.